Hello and welcome to episode 122 of the Drive the Green podcast. I'm your host, Maddie B, joined as always by Bro and Ellen Harp. On this episode, the Caddy Roundtable returns with our second edition. This week we went all Canadians. We got four Canadian caddies joined Harv and myself, Brennan Little, Billy Spencer, Julian Trudeau, and Kurt Kowalik. It was took a little while to get warmed up, Harv, but once we did, I think the listeners will be happy.
Yep, I think I would agree there.
Brennan Little told me I had one of the worst comments he's ever heard, so that kind of put me on tilt for a little bit. Still, we taped it right before this part of the show, so let's just say I'm running a little hot trying to figure out what I'm doing, but...
You're still mad about it.
Yeah, still mad about it. I just hooked my foot on the cord of my mic.
Yeah, so. And even though Kurt is a Leafs fan, we won't hold that against him.
Yeah, exactly. So I hope everyone enjoys this episode. What do we got? Player Golf?
Yipper.
The podcast is sponsored by Player Golf, PLYRGolf.com. Use the promo code DRIVETHEGREEN for a discount on your order. And I guess we'll get right into weeks because we got a long episode here. So who wants to go first?
I mean, I'll go first.
Yeah, go ahead.
Didn't do anything. Easy.
You have the easiest weeks every time. Yeah. That's played, the same thing every week.
Two or three rounds of golf, shot, you know, 77 to 84 in that range somewhere.
Yeah, yours should just be...
Went home.
Played two or three rounds of golf, cut the grass, and went to bed seven nights.
That's his weeks.
My comment was going to be, so the round we played on Saturday was probably the nicest day of all time in Saskatchewan.
Of all time.
Is there added pressure when you're playing in that good of weather? Like, there's almost more pressure to perform because there's no excuses, right?
Yeah.
Whereas if you got a 40K win, it's like, oh, okay, well.
But I think it's, I would say I play better in worse conditions.
Yeah.
Like driving to the course on Saturday, I was like, yep. I'm feeling it. And it did not go well for stretches, points of times of that round.
Yeah.
But, yeah, maybe there is added pressure. I don't know.
But we played a team game and we ended up coming out on top.
Yeah.
Couple playoff holes.
Two playoff holes. We played a scramble and we were 2-under through two. So on pace for 18-under.
That's true. Yeah.
So we got that.
I'm not sure. We played, top two scores of the group. I don't even know. What did we finish? What was our score?
6-over or something.
Yep.
We didn't play very
tape?
Well.
Want that on tape?
Yeah, we did not play well.
Yeah, edit that out. 6-under. Under.
Yeah, 6-under. Best two scores. you guys want the count?
Yeah, yep. I get to the count.
And just breeze right through it.
Buzz through my week here.
Yeah, so I had quite a few that day. But we are at 16 for this past week.
What for the month?
Triple digits.
July hasn't been kind to me. I am at 8-13, 27, 36. 36 through 13 today?
Yeah.
Whoa.
That's a tough one when you have to add them up like that.
Yeah.
It took you a while to add that up.
Oh, yeah. Well, I should keep a running tally weekly. I'm just doing it monthly.
You're just averaging like three a day.
The other thing that happened in my week, I got to move in with my new roommates. Sold my house. Don't have anywhere to live. I'll let everyone else fill in the blanks on who those roommates could be. I'll give you a hint.
You're sleeping in a car bed.
Yeah, I'm in a car bed. Rhymes with my schmother and my schma father.
All your posters are still up.
Yeah, all my posters. No, it's not my childhood home. Yeah, and I'm pretty sure my kids get to sleep in the old bed if I was in my childhood home. So yeah,
I would hope so.
Hopefully I can find a new house soon because I will go crazy.
Yeah, it's a tough go, but hey, free meals.
Well, that's the thing is, I hope my mom doesn't listen to this, but I think I'd prefer my wife's meals over my mom's meals.
Oh.
Oh, that's easy. Your mom and dad just buy the groceries and then your wife cooks them.
Yeah.
Guy pretty much knows my playbook. Just take it off rent.
Yeah. Rent, zero, groceries. Zero. Yeah, it's all the same.
Well, I'm getting screwed over because I buy the groceries and I cook.
Yeah, that stinks. Well, let's get into it, right into it, because we got a round table coming around the corner.
Nothing for Harvey.
Yeah.
I'm just pulling a Bruno. I didn't do anything. I played golf three times.
Yep.
Sort of worked. And
cut your grass once.
Cut my grass once. Would have cut it twice, but it rained. So that's it.
I forgot Harv was alive this past week. And I apologize for Harv's sound over the first 5 minutes of this because I realized I had the dial on your microphone cranked.
Normally I'm the quietest one, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah, now you're back to being quiet, so we're all good.
Let's get into it. Workday charity.
Where are we starting?
Where, I don't know. Where do we start? The epic playoff with a 50-foot putt followed by a 25-foot putt?
How about we start with it not being on TV in the United States?
Yeah.
But really, who cares?
Well,
I watched
it. A bunch of people on Twitter cared.
Who cares? I watched it. It was on TSN. He's not wrong.
It was on TSN in Canada.
But yeah, when I logged on to Twitter, I was like, "What is going on? Why is everyone so upset? Like, it's on TV. But I guess
TSN 4.
Yeah, it wasn't on TV in the United States. Everyone had to log into PGA.
Baseball was on CBS TSN 1.
Sports, you had to watch it. Like, I get that that's a pain, but some of the tweets and articles made that out to be the worst thing in the world. It was like, you had to log on to CBS Sports, and you know how streaming is. Sometimes that doesn't work. You can't even watch it if you wanted to, and you got ads popping up every 2 seconds, and then... Like, it was just ridiculous. Like, yes, it would have been a minor inconvenience.
Yes.
But, I mean, just get, like, one of those Google Chromecasts and just put it on your TV anyways.
Yeah, I mean, if we're comparing inconveniences to watching golf, like, we don't even have access to PGA Tour Live up here. No. Like, we can't watch every shot. So, what would you rather have? The ability to watch it on TSM 4 or versus laptop or the other end of the spectrum and getting to watch every shot if you want to, if you subscribe? Because we can't do that.
Have you guys noticed, like, did the PGA app go back to the old style?
No.
Don't think so.
I swear it's not the same. Like, remember when...
Samsung's.
JJ Colleen was like, PGA Tour app's so awesome now. And I'm like, yeah, it is. And then the next time I went onto it, it was back to the old style. So I don't know what's going on.
He was also talking about the older PGA Tour Live.
So it works out better for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But yeah, Colin Morikawa with his second victory in 26 career starts? 25?
Yeah.
Somewhere in there. Mid-20s.
I think I watched from like hole 6 on. And I mean, my wife was not happy that it went to a playoff. I know Matty Mm-mm. B's wife not was not mine happy either.
Yeah.
I had to go out and buy a tent, so I was getting the gears. But what an electric playoff. Like, that was the best sports moment of 2020. Not hard to be that, but
just... Yeah, it was weird.
Super Bowl.
It was weird, though... That it didn't that have crowd.
Yeah, Super Bowl was in February, right?
Yes.
Oh man, feels like
definitely as a Chiefs fan. Yeah, noted.
Okay.
One of the downfalls to us taping our interview before the pod like this is we talked to the guys in spoiler alert in the Caddy Roundtable of that type of playoff not being held with fans and the roars that would have happened from those two putts in that playoff and just the atmosphere. Because I think it was Butchie that said, Brendan Little said he was there watching the playoff. They were watching the playoff, and it was like, it seemed like that JT putt was 80 feet away because there's no.
Kurt.
Because there was no crowd around, and the crowd kind of condenses that green. But just can you imagine? Like, even watching on TV, you could hear that, let's go from JT, and it was super loud, and you could get excited at home, but you didn't really get the full effect of a crowd in a playoff.
I'm telling you right now, Colin Morikawa does not make that putt if there's a crowd there.
You think so? You're going the other way, hey?
Yeah, I don't think so either.
Because they would be so fired up from JT making that putt.
Yeah.
Like,
and the nerves would have just gone through the roof.
It just and it'd just be like a low buzz and hum. Like, you just wouldn't have got quiet this way.
I don't even know how that putt went in. It was going to miss left, and then all of a sudden it went back to the right.
Yeah.
But what's more unbelievable, JT... not having a bogey through 54 holes or JT blowing a three-shot lead with 3 holes to go?
Well, he bogeyed 2 of his first 3 holes on Sunday.
Yeah.
He was the king of the speed wobble. Granted, I mean, Morikawa earned it a little bit, but JT...
Oh, yeah, he made some shots. Big time. He was 6-under on Sunday.
Yeah.
Early on, he looked unbeatable.
JT? No. Yeah.
Morikawa. First. Well, how about Hovland coming out, firing out of the gate? Like, that group was electric all Sunday. It was three-horse race the entire day.
Yeah, but again, the only group they showed, so really
we got to see that group and Woodland, and then a smattering of other putts,
mm-hmm.
and then obviously with the moving up of the tee times, kind of threw everything for a loop, and pretty much had to show that they couldn't really show much of the tournament. But
I'm surprised they didn't show John Rahm. He was the last guy on the course. Like, what was like,
carving it up?
Yeah, I mean, we'll get to him later, but mm-hmm. like. What are they doing with those tee times?
Yeah, that was weird.
It's a weird how when they move up groups, how they select who goes where and when.
Must be a random draw, maybe.
I honestly, it was by design. Completely random. Because he was teeing off later than people who were like worse than him, but
yep,
it was weird.
Yeah. Didn't make a whole lick
of sense. I think it was just for TV, so they could cut to Jon Rahm when JT and Morikawa.
Yeah, I mean, there very well could be a reason inside the golf world, but we're not going to pretend like we know what that is right now.
No.
Can we talk a little bit about Morikawa's putting then?
Well,
you probably should, given
you're still
what's coming up this episode.
Yeah. We'll get to it in the caddy roundtable when Butchie destroyed me, but. If Morikawa is so good with his irons that he hits it so close all the time, if he was a better putter, and again, he's won twice. We'll get into it later. He's won twice. But the guy stinks at putting. Like, he's like 200th inside 10 feet. So he has to hit it that close just so that the percentages work in his favor. Whereas when you get into like a Bryson guy, a drive or wedge, if you're a good putter and you have a wedge in your hand all the time, you're bound to make more putts than you miss. So it's just, well,
Bryson's
it works
a good
out.
Putter.
Yeah.
Stinks with his
wedges. Yeah, he gains.
Yeah, it's so, just one of those things where if you got to be good at something, like put it in our group. I hit it all over the place and then I'll make a 30-footer and still par.
Exactly. Yeah. And so it goes, and then later on I get retribution a little bit by talking about the stats. But yeah, if he was just even a marginally better putter from inside 10 feet, that guy might have, well, he might have a he might have won 2 weeks ago.
Oh, he would have won. He would have beat Berger.
Yeah. He should have won that tournament outright, and he missed that 4-footer on 18 for birdie.
Yeah. Yep.
Like, it shouldn't even have went to a playoff.
Yeah. So, exactly. Yes, he has 2 wins on ball striking alone, but if he was a better putter, he might even be that much better. Like, he's up to 13th in the world.
Yeah. Do you feel better?
I feel a little bit better.
And
Hovland's I kind of wish
28th?
Yeah. We might have to call Brennan Little back. Just so we can like just talk it out. We're in a group atmosphere.
I don't think it was that bad.
Yeah, we'll get
the stupidest comment he's ever heard.
Whatever. That's fine.
Yeah, the dumbest comment he's ever heard. Hate to give out spoilers before we get in there, but I had to air it. Luckily, we got to tape this after the fact. But
what else you guys got?
We're talking about Hovland and Morikawa. Who's going to have more wins in their career?
Oh, it's Morikawa, hands down.
That's tough.
I don't know. It's really tough.
Are you talking about because Hovland looked like he was unbeatable for a while there?
Wow, he's so skilled. Like, if he learns how to chip.
Yeah, and then he chipped out. What did he chip in on?
Par?
Yeah, for par? Yeah.
Don't sleep on Matt Wolf, guys.
I know.
All three of those guys are
unbelievable. I had the over-under for career wins for Colin at 12.5. I think that's about right, or that low.
Career wins?
Just total wins. He's already got 2.
Yeah, that's such a tough...
Getting 10 wins in a career is not an easy thing.
Considering he has, 28 years left to do that?
Yeah.
So he might do it. He might get to 13. He's just got to win one every 2 years.
JT's at 12. Is he going to have the same start to his career as JT had? So what's JT now? 28?
27, I think.
Born in 90... What? He's born in...
JT?
He's 27.
Okay, so he's got 12 in 7 years.
Yeah.
So do you think he's going to get another 12 in the next 7? Probably. Maybe 10.
Well, I think it's funny that we're talking about...
I think 12 gets you like that's a big career.
Well, yeah. I'm just saying that the fact that we're talking about JT winning... what he's winning, and can Morikawa beat JT? Like, let's not gloss over the fact that if JT wins, he's won 3 times this year.
Oh, yeah.
Like, the guy, I'm just looking at it here. Again, we're going to talk. T4, 1, T17, T5, 1, cut, T3, cut, T6, T10, T8, cut, yep. Second.
If everyone wasn't on Bryson's dong right now.
Ding-a-ling-a-dong-dong.
Everybody would be talking about JT being the best player in the world because he probably is.
He has 8 top 10s and 12
probably
tournaments.
Probably the player of the year right now.
Yep. Until Bryson wins this week.
Yeah. Well, maybe. Might be tough. This course doesn't set up well for him.
I can't wait for this week.
Yeah. I got to pit in on Sunday.
I mean, they're going to speed up those greens and they're going to grow out the rough. But like The rough already looked pretty long.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, this is a great segue into my next topic. This course, it's the best.
Yeah.
It might be the best.
Like, why is it so... I was
waiting for you to start
reading about this. Why is it so green? Like, it's just a different shade of green. I don't know
if it's just a bunch of nitrogen fertilizer.
I just don't know if it's, like, because it's cloudy there all the time or whenever they show this tournament, but, like, that's dark green.
I will agree with you. There wasn't a lot of sun featured.
Yeah, just through the 4 days. Yeah, Justin Rose wore sunglasses all the time. Yeah. Every day.
Rosy hell of a tournament this week, 10 over.
Not as bad as friend of the pod, Joel Damon, though. Yeah, see Joel, his rounds, 79-82.
Yeah, Joel didn't play it too well.
Just a classic.
It's a tough course.
Drive the green group weekend right there.
79-82.
Yeah. But yeah, like it's my favorite course. Like
even including
it's enjoyable
major
watching.
Courses?
I think I would put this two behind Augusta for ones that I want to play.
What's the middle one?
Like Augusta's one, this is two.
Oh, number two.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Number two. Not two behind, like, as
this
in three.
Is number two.
Yeah.
Number two behind Augusta.
Because you just want to try those little floppers from the thick rough right next to the green.
Yeah, do all sorts of specialty shit. Yeah.
Canadians?
Yeah, right. I was going to say we were talking about Friends of the Pod. Like, it was at early on, round two, I think it was. We had four Canadians in the top 10.
Yeah, and then they just took turns being best Canadian all week.
Yep.
Our boy Raj ended up winning T27, unfortunately.
Top was Canadian. The low best Canadian. One.
Low Canadian, yeah. Hadwin was 35th, Connors 39, Hughes 48, and Taylor's 48, and Hearn missed the cut. But Taylor and Hadwin were both on the front page on Thursday.
Yep.
Hughes had a great Friday, I think. Raj, Connors was up there early, too. Yeah,
Raj took his turn in the top 10 for a while there.
Raj was up there early Friday morning, that's for sure.
Yeah, he played solid throughout.
I bring it up almost every time Roger's in contention. If he could just play 16, 17, 18 of his round, whether it's front or back, every round well, it's like he kind of hits that little wall on 16 and bogeys the last hole or bogeys the second last hole.
Maybe he's just a big golf should be 12 holes guy.
He might be a 12 hole golf guy.
Screwed around by that rain delay too.
Yeah, and then bogey, was I think, that Friday? Come out of it. Yeah. So...
But solid week all in all for the Canadians. Like,
yeah, and then we got to celebrate as Canadian golf fans with now Nick Taylor moved to 100th. Now we have four Canadians in the top 100.
First time ever.
That's awesome.
It's a good time to be a Canadian golf fan and have a Canadian golf podcast where all those guys have been on the show.
Yeah.
Can we talk about the trophy?
It's probably got a barrel full of mints in it right now.
Yeah, that's the only thing it's good for.
Maybe actually, the milkshake got thrown in there.
Actually,
why'd they just make
drink
one,
it out of there?
One courtesy milkshake? Like that's
he. You know what? He actually probably has it sitting in his hotel room right now because he's there again this
week.
Yeah,
you know what?
He's gonna forget it.
Those
there.
Those guys don't have change.
Oh yeah, they do.
Who doesn't walk over? You don't walk around with a wad full of bills and then just keep all the coins. Americans still have
pennies.
Pennies, yes.
Yeah, I don't. I don't think they have a mitt.
You don't think
he's going to have it in his hotel
of pennies?
He's going to have it in his hotel room, and then he's going to forget it there because it's just going to blend in with the stupid hotel furniture. He's just going to think it's like the centerpiece on the hotel desk.
It's the soap holder in the bathroom.
Yeah, exactly. That thing ain't making it back to his house.
No, I agree with you there.
The only other thing I had was Watney, Fratelli, and McCarthy were paired together Thursday, Friday because they all were.
The all-COVID team.
Yeah, the all-COVID group. Which, again...
Did any of them make the weekend?
I'm not sure. No, because they would have had to play by themselves, and you would have think that would have had a bit more coverage.
Yeah, I don't remember them.
But maybe check. But this is just another Tiger, Rory, superstar precaution.
Yes. If someone gets COVID, they have to play by themselves.
Yeah.
I'm curious to know...
or with other COVID people.
Or, yeah, just so that they can get into the tournament. That's right. So as long as Tiger... Rory, if they do get COVID, have other COVID guys in the tournament, they can play. Yeah. If they don't, do they get to play by themselves in round one and two?
So here was a question. Remember I said I got a question for you guys?
I remember it right now.
Yeah. Here's what it was. Say Tiger Woods tests positive for COVID-19, corona, whatever you want to call it, and they let him play, keep it quiet, but they know he's positive. So they pair him with two young guys because whatever. You're probably going to overcome it.
Mm-hmm.
If you were on tour and were a young guy, would you take it just to be able to play around with Tiger Woods? Or would you be like, no, I'll let...
Me?
Well, you're or not
gonna... You.
Of course you yes, absolutely. If I'm...
Not you right now. You as a PGA Tour
just
pro.
Don't go near him. Yeah. Play around with him. Don't go near
I think I'd do it. Yeah. I think I'd do it.
Yeah, I thought so too. Like,
yeah.
I don't know if that's just like... We don't really think much of this
virus
or...
Yeah, well... We'll get in... We kind of talk about... Gloss over it in the interview, but I found it interesting that when we talk... We're talking about sports coming back. These guys said, you know, people didn't really take it seriously until guys started getting it and getting punted off the
yep.
tour. And then they're like, oh, shit, we should probably pay attention.
Yeah.
Because we don't want to be out for 2 weeks.
Yeah, and that's what's going to happen in all sports. Might be a little bit more like one guy gets it on a basketball or hockey team. Nothing
more guys
really
are
happens.
Get it, probably
but don't. Yeah, if you get five guys get it, it's like, okay.
Yeah.
Just or follow the rules and.
Hunker down get, here, guys.
You so. Might get a big bonus check.
Yeah, or what are we going to do? Okay, this guy gets it. He has to sit out for three games or whatever it is, and you don't want to sit out for three games. Okay, we should probably, you know, maybe stay in our hotel room. What are you looking up there, Bruno?
I'm looking up the three guys. Fratelli missed the cut. Watney missed the cut. And who's the other guy?
Danny McCarthy.
Oh.
Chances are he missed the cut because he would have been playing by himself.
Yep.
Time to go ahead and quick hits?
He did.
Yeah, all three missed the cut. Probably yeah. coughing all over each other.
Touching pins.
Shots of the week, birthdays, aces.
Oh, yeah, I have.
I don't think there was an ace.
Was there? Didn't.
Kowalik brought it up, but
brought
I don't
up
know.
That you should check if Keegan Bradley had an ace.
Will do.
Because he said that with no fans, Bradley went and looked into the bunker because he thought it went long. And they're like, nope.
Yes, I do recall.
But I didn't know if that
I think
was
he, I think he might have said
round.
That after the Butchie comment because I don't recall that.
Yeah, I didn't know if they were talking like that was a practice round or if that was, just, I don't know. So yeah. check it out.
He did yeah. on Thursday.
Yep.
Thursday yeah. ace.
Perfect.
Hole in one.
On hole four, actually.
Yeah, that sounds exactly about the
thanks,
story.
Thanks, Kurt Kowalik for the aces this
fun.
Week.
Yeah. Shots of the week I had came down to... Either Morikawa's on Sunday on 3 and 4 there, the 3-iron off the pin, or the 5-wood to like whatever, a few feet.
Yeah, the five wood to 3 feet was the best shot of
no,
the week.
No, I'm going Victor Hovland on like Thursday where he hit that driver on 14 where they moved up the tees to like 3 feet and tapped in for eagle.
Mm.
That's my shot of the week.
I love that hole.
Yeah, that's nice.
Lots of guys
it ain't
going to
be like that this year, this week.
No.
They're backing it back up.
Lots of guys are saying that hole should have been part of the playoff.
Oh, see if someone can eagle it to win.
Yeah, because like, well, you play 18 twice. Okay, great. Then you go to 10. Okay, what if you par that one?
Yeah, well,
I don't 14, understand why they do that. Like, go to the best hole. Like, you're just driving out in a cart there anyways.
Yeah, yeah. Depending how close proximity, but you're saying even doesn't matter. But similarly, if you get two guys in that playoff that can't make it there, then all it is just short wedge shots and take birdies and move on.
Oh, yeah.
Right? If a guy doesn't get close to the eagle attempt or something
yeah,
like that,
it's like
just auto birdies.
It's like an 8-yard landing area.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, but you think if one guy hits driver, like there's more gamesmanship to a hole like that than just two
exactly.
guys blasting drivers,
yeah.
hitting sand wedges, and who can make the 8-footer.
Yeah.
I actually would disagree in that 18 was a good playoff hole because
it was, yeah.
50 footer, 25 footer. They weren't getting that close.
Yeah.
So, all right, quick hits?
Quick hits.
Oh, Dude Wipes. I wanted to have JT.
Who else would it be?
Two time JT. Filled his pants, cleaned him up, filled him again.
You can't blow a 3-shot lead with 3 to go and not get Dude Wipes.
Okay. He gets it.
Yeah. What about birthdays?
Oh, yeah. Jeez.
Birthdays. Any notable ones?
Yep. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Mo Norman.
Oh, yeah.
94, I think.
R.I.P.
R.I.P.
Greatest shot maker in golf history, arguably.
Yeah. One of the best.
Canadian?
Yep.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Canadian, yes.
I'm Ron Burgundy?
Alex Noren, birthday? Don't know how old he is.
Not that notable.
And?
In B Park?
More.
And?
Notable.
Yeah.
20-time winner.
Oh, yeah.
On the LPGA
Tour. She legit.
She's the one that wears the
gold medal winner.
She's the one that wears the, I don't know what it is, black and white, like cow colored pants.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
But they're like, I don't know, windsuit material.
Yeah.
I know.
Black and white cow colored pants.
Like dairy cow.
Yes.
That pattern.
Yep.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
I guess so.
And
what's the name of that cow? That's a certain style of cow. Someone, listener out there, is just screaming it right now. How do you not know this answer? Black and white cow. I'll look
anyways,
it up.
Brock Lesnar.
There it is.
Oh, nice.
43 years old.
Fellow Saskatchewan resident.
That's right.
Very notable.
Relatable.
Is next. Holstein? I'm going to go Holstein.
Quick here. Hits. Next.
What's this guy doing
yep.
over here?
Got it.
What is this guy doing over here?
I knew it. Just
still
as it
rattled
was,
the boat, Dad.
Just as it was coming up.
Head is not in this.
Just as it was coming up. Yep. Sure enough. Holstein Friesian. Black and white dairy cow.
Oh, boy.
What'd you Google for that?
Black and white cow. And then as it was loading, I'm like, oh, shit. I should have just said it's Holstein and then Googled.
Went to images, probably.
Yeah. Class. Anyways, quick hits.
Just one more thing about the rattled part. I said I was a Chiefs fan, and he jumped all over me saying, when, since 2 years ago? Oh, you want to get a guy mad? Imagine if I told you, were you a Steelers fan in 2008? Because I say it all the time. Was it 08? 03 and 08? They won?
05 and 08.
Imagine if I told you that, you know how mad you'd get.
Oh, yeah.
Was 05 like the worst Super Bowl ever?
No. The Patriots-Rams was the worst one.
Oh, yeah. That one was
the
really
second
bad.
Worst.
Maybe. Oh man, I can't believe.
And
you
then
did that.
Yeah, they were giving it to him about the Chiefs. I'm like, no, just since when they dropped Mahomes.
But even still, if I heard a Chiefs fan was a fan since they drafted Mahomes, he had to sit on the bench for a year. They weren't that good that year.
Yeah,
I'll give you that. If you're a Mahomes fan, but don't come at me with 2 years ago. Oh man,
did you guys ask Trudeau about his Habs?
Oh, yeah. Fandom? Habs came up. Yeah.
Okay, good.
Yeah, you'll get there.
Yeah. Nice. I'll have to give it a listen tomorrow.
Okay, quick hits.
Very quick.
Women's British Open is happening.
Yeah.
August 20th to 23rd. So
that's
I
big.
Also wrote down, what the heck, RNA? Like,
yeah,
why
are they allowing one but not the other?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No idea.
Take it back. Do it now.
Yeah. Why wouldn't
take
you?
Take it back.
Do it. Just kidding.
Next.
Ryder Cup officially postponed.
Yes.
We said it was going to last week, but now it's official. And President's Cup is also postponed to 2022.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah, I mean,
it makes sense, but interesting.
You can't
that,
have them both the same year.
No, but no. It's just like, they just have to take it. Sorry, you just gotta take it.
Well, that's what
happened
the last
pumped.
Time they did this.
Yeah, I know. So now they're just flipped onto different, back onto the odd even years.
Yeah, no one cares about the President's Cup. Like,
oh, I care.
Oh, it's great to watch, but like it's just like a throw in.
Yeah.
It's the internationals.
Canadians care about it. America.
Oh, absolutely. Time, Americans do not. They just mop them every time anyways.
Mm.
Yeah.
Not last time.
Didn't they win?
Didn't mop.
He was coming.
It was not a mop, though.
Shouldn't even have said it.
Next.
They mopped them early and then just held on. That, like, I don't know what it was, that ACC amateur tournament. Did you hear about this?
Oh, yeah. Accenture? No.
No. I just wrote ACC.
Good.
The reason it came up is because Mahomes played in it, but
Marty
Fish won. You guys know who that is?
The lefty player.
Tennis player.
Oh, okay. I had a look when I saw him.
I watched.
He shot
watched,
63 on Saturday.
Yeah, I watched a significant portion of that tournament. And yeah. Modified Stableford.
Was Romo in it or no?
Yeah,
backed out.
He's the 2-time defending champ.
Oh.
Was he in it?
I thought someone told me today he backed out.
No, he was in it unless he didn't play the final round.
Yeah.
Next. Mackenzie Tour announced a Canada Life Series, 4 events,
mm-hmm.
2 in BC at Bear Mountain, 2 in Ontario at TPC Toronto, 54 hole events.
If I'm actually surprised that BC got that. It's a little bit of a COVID hotbed right now.
Yeah.
Not as much as Ontario.
I know. But it's like weird that they picked those two spots. Now, that being said, I kind of want to go to one.
Yeah.
Maybe do a little coverage while
I'd love
there.
To go to Bear Mountain.
Yeah. Maybe a little
I
coverage.
Play there anyways.
Play it after.
It's nice.
Yeah. I mean, it's probably the 15th nicest course in BC, but according to the top 100 ranks in Canada.
Have we got to top 10 yet?
No, we're in
the 30s.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bear Mountain was in the 90s, though.
Yeah, so I it'll mean, be top 15,
which is
maybe.
Unbelievable. Like, it's crazy.
Next.
Says a lot about the quality of the courses in this
next,
country.
This one's funny.
And we laughed.
And how we laughed. PGA players on Cameo.
Oh, this this is funny.
Like, why is that a thing? Why is Cameo a thing to begin with?
Let Bronell talk about Patrick Rogers.
So Cameo is you get celebrities to wish you happy birthday on.
I think you can do more than happy birthday. It's just they send you a message.
They can send you a personal message.
Oh, okay.
Like, you can be like a graduation it. Or like yeah. tell this guy's an idiot or.
Yeah. Might have to do Jimmy Hardcase on that list.
Yeah, $15 for Hardcase. I wonder how many $50
and here we paid he's getting. And here we paid him $75 to come on the pod.
Well, I made a joke that I should have got him to wish me happy birthday yeah. from last week. Also, you missed it. Thanks. But
I think
Patrick,
you didn't send him a happy birthday.
No, I didn't include it in birthdays.
But Patrick friggin' Rogers listed at 300.
You know why? Because his wife's a famous actress.
Ah.
So you probably get both of them.
Oh, maybe. I bet you Hard K would do it for free if we asked him. He's a friend of the pod for sure.
Well, of course he would. $15?
I might text him. Hey, it was Bronell's birthday last week. You want to do a happy birthday video message for us? just trying to win a bet here.
No, you should get Big John to do it instead.
$7.50?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
$7.50.
Just going to Diet Coke. Okay, I'll skip that one. They announced that no fans at any of the events for the rest of the year. So does that include the Masters?
Oh, God, I hope not.
I think it's the rest of this season, is it? I don't think it's the rest of the year, like calendar year. I think it's the rest of the season.
I hope it's just the season.
I don't know. I'm kind of on the...
Love to see the Masters without fans.
That's
no,
exactly
I
where I am. Like, I just want to see it.
Love it.
It'd be neat. You can't say it wouldn't be.
Because we talked about this every time, every Masters year on this show. So far we've had two. Is I want to. There is so much room behind like two green and all of those different places. I just want to see what it looks like being played with all that. Because there's such a huge gallery that there's so much room on that course that these guys they could miss all over the place. And
I'm
not
starting
get
to
affected.
Think that they might. Hit it to some of those places.
Could, yeah.
But it's just going to roll and roll, probably.
Well, no, it won't be trampled down.
I guess so.
Different angles in.
We'll see.
Yeah.
I guarantee we'll you Bryson happens. Hits it to one of those places because he thinks it's a better angle.
Yeah. I can't wait to see Bryson play Masters this year.
Next.
The talk of the town.
This is a good one. European Tour was back this week. And Mark Warren won for the first time in a while. But the big story is his caddy had to get tested for COVID. And the test didn't get back in time. So this guy carried his own bag.
Really?
And won the tournament.
Fucked around and won anyways.
Yeah.
That's some guy. Incredible story.
Is this going to start a trend? Like imagine just saving 10% every week.
Yeah, just ask the entire...
You're not paying a caddy.
Coach is guaranteed carrying his own bag this week.
Well, just if he was 10 years younger, I'd agree with you 100%. But also...
like 90% of the McKenzie Tour guys, probably 100%, unless they have a friend or relative.
Right.
Like Lawrence Chan's mom carries his bag.
That seems like a dick move.
You go, mom.
Yeah, because when I was at that 1932 by Bateman Open last year,
I love that you say the full name every time.
You have to. It's the name.
You could just say that tournament in Edmonton.
Yeah, fair enough.
What's worse?
Pendrith won it, by the way.
Yeah.
Who's lighting it up on the Corn Ferry Tour.
Is that better be in the news?
That's next.
Yeah. Well, I was just going to say, what's worse? Making your mom carry your golf clubs or telling her cooking sucks?
Or living with her when you're 35 with a family of four.
Yeah, one of those is a lot worse than the other two, but next. So yeah, like carried his own bag. Like that's
yeah, it's pretty crazy.
I wonder if he went I didn't know if he went down to like a little carry bag with a or if he still had the big old thing.
Give the guy a pull card at least.
Yeah, I don't think that's
allowed. Caddy's got COVID. No. All right, next one. Corn Ferry, Lipsky.
Last one. TPC San Antonio Challenge. David Lipsky won, but Pendrith finished second.
Pendrith, what is it, T3 second? Last two tournaments?
Yep. Guy's red hot. He's like...
He's pretty much a lock to go to the PGA Tour.
He's getting close.
He's
yeah.
like well, 200, he's 11th. He's like 200 and something in the world now.
Yeah, I saw he's it good.
Yeah, he's. I think he's 11th or 12th in the top 25 race, and like he's double the points of like 26th.
Yeah.
So like it's going to be tough for those guys to catch him.
Yep.
Guy can bomb it.
Yep. Too. Saw it in person at the 1932 Svensson, by Bateman Open.
And Svensson was 8th.
Yes. Yeah. Svensson 8th.
Really good.
Yeah, I just had a couple other quick things.
Oh, boy.
We wanted to talk
couple
about
quick
here.
Things. Let's see.
Well, this is just, my watch this is right just now. A question. This is just a question. So they show Bryson's diet, right?
They were talking about it a bit last week, but.
Yeah, and the protein shakes. So for breakfast, it says he has 2 protein shakes. So do you think that is 2 separate shakes of the recommended size, or it's 1 big shake with twice the amount of powder in it?
I think it's 2 shakes. I'm going to go with the literal term here.
2 separate shakes.
You think it's 2 separate shakes? Why would you do that?
Like half
an
hour.
That just doesn't seem efficient for a big numbers guy like Bryson.
Like half an hour apart or something maybe.
No.
Yeah.
No, it's 2 scoops, twice the water in a big cup. 100%.
I don't think so.
But you can't call that 2...
That's not 2 shakes. That's 1 shake with double the protein.
I'm drinking a tall boy beer. Is that 2 beers or 1 beer? It's 1 beer.
Well,
it's
1.5
in the count.
It's 1.5 in the count. Yeah. Are we talking the count here or just like a normal person? Because this is 1 beer. This
You're telling beer. Me if that thing was 710 mils, you would not call it 2 beers?
I guess it would be, but
I'd probably still call it 1.
Yeah.
It's a 1 shake. Yep.
What a weird question, though.
What else you got on that? What else you got that sheet of yours, your driver?
That guy who came out and said any random 4 handicap would beat the wheels off everyone on the LPGA.
The guy with like 20 followers on Twitter.
I mean, that's 10 burner account. 100%.
Yeah, he got.
But guy who knows burners, that's a burner account.
That's. I mean. I love idiots like that post those things on Twitter just to get everyone fired up. And then to see how much it catches fire.
Yeah.
And he wasn't backing down either. Like no. He was replying to what people were saying.
Oh, was he?
Oh, yeah.
I didn't see the replies, no.
Yeah.
But so many people, I can't remember who it was. It's like, I'm 7 months pregnant. Let's go play right now. The one girl is just like, yeah, I'm 7 months pregnant. Let's go play.
Well, to be fair, we played Anna Young, who's not on the LPGA Tour.
And she beat us.
Back, from the back tee, so we should have had a big ol' advantage there. And she beat us on 17 as a group of
as
3.
As a group of 3, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah no chance.
R.I.P. us.
Yeah, he ain't winning. What did he say, a 4 handicap?
4 handicap.
Yeah, no.
So
even a plus 4 being tough.
Yep. I don't know about that.
Be close.
Well, who was it that we were interviewing that said some of these guys are like plus 7, 8s?
Yep.
Like, and they're not good enough. Harrington, I think, said it.
Mm.
But.
Well, yeah. Look at the Monday Qs every day.
Yeah, the Monday Qs again this week. 64, 65. Yeah, 64s were out of Monday Q today.
I was thinking of the Corn Ferry Monday Qs, which was like 60, 61.
Yeah.
Do insane. You think you could get into like a just like what if you just like were able to get into like a Monday qualifier?
You can
just pay enough money.
You just have to pay $450.
Yeah, yeah, you can just anyone can get in. You don't have to have like a PGA Tour card. You just need a handicap and you can go play.
Yeah, just shoot.
Like I can go there and shoot 130.
Yeah,
I mean you wouldn't.
Remember,
but
someone 98? Someone posted.
I can go there and shoot 98.
Thank you. It's better.
Yes, I'm pretty. I don't know the rules, but I'm pretty sure you just have to pay the entry fee.
That might be worth it.
It might be fun to do.
Content.
We shouldn't have brought up these stupid comments right before the interview because people just tuning in for the interview.
Tell you what.
These guys don't know what they're talking about.
We'll split it 3 ways and I'll go play.
Sure.
I'll do that. I'll carry your bag.
I'll film it.
Yeah, right.
Anyways, let's get to the interview and then we can do pick recap.
All right. Like I mentioned earlier, Caddy Roundtable 2.0. Brandon Little, Billy Spencer, Julian Trudeau, Kirk Wallach. Bear with us as we get rolling here. This train took a little bit to get rolling, but once it did, a lot of good stuff in here. Hope everyone enjoys it. We'll be back after for picks for the week.
Matty B and Harv here, Drive the Green. So we're here with our second roundtable, Caddy 2.0. And we have the All-Canadian edition. We got Billy Spencer, Jules Trudeau, Kirk Kowalik, and Butchie Brandon Little joining us. Boys, thanks for coming on the Drive the Green show.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks for having us, bud.
Yeah, no problem. So I guess we'll kick it off with we're heading into week two here at Muirfield Village. You guys probably got a discounted rate on your Airbnb, so that's good. How are things last week, and how do you think things are gonna change for this week? I guess we'll start with Butchie. You can go first here. Your thoughts on last week and what you think you're gonna see differently this week.
Well, obviously the golf course is going to play a little bit different this year or this week compared to last week. The greens, they were keeping the greens a little bit slower. The rough's going to be a little bit longer this week. I think generally at the Memorial, they get the greens a little bit firmer and faster. So they used a couple different hole locations this week. A little more slope to them. But with the greens being a little bit slower, they could use those hole locations. But I think you'll see a regular Memorial setup this week. The rough's going to be a bit longer. Greens will be a bit faster. And hopefully it doesn't rain and the course will play a little firmer.
Yeah. What did you guys see out there kind of this week as far as obviously the scores were crazy low? So it's going to play a little bit more tough this week, but was there anything was it weird being out there with no fans and then obviously heading into this week, we're kind of looking at the same type of setup. You think that's going to take a little bit away from the tournament this year?
Kurt, you look ready to go, bud. You look like you're
Yeah, I am ready to go. The fans part has kind of went away after the first tournament. Just for me, it was strange at that time, but you just kind of get used to it. Like there's not, we actually had a hole in one last, I think it was Friday. And, Cameron whispered, like I was doing something with the golf bag. Cameron whispered to me, "Hey, his shot looked really good." And I was like, okay. So then we're walking up. It was number four. And Keegan got the hole in one, right? But he and his caddy chatter, and they walk to the back of the green because they think the golf ball is over the back into the bunker or something. So they're looking around, and then they have to volunteer. Where's the ball? And the volunteer says, it's in the hole. And we're kind of like, that's it. You didn't have any, celebrate. Like you think a volunteer have witnessed the hole in one, they'd be like standing up cheering or something. I mean, maybe they were told to be like quiet and not really very noticeable, but it was really strange because and then Egan walks back to the hole and peeks over over the hole that's in. And I'm like, we're all just like, hey, good shot, man. It was just strange because no high fiving, there's no nothing and no celebrating.
Well,
his ball wasn't in the bunker.
Yeah, from a viewer's perspective too, like we're watching, we're sitting back and we're watching the playoff between Morikawa and JT, and JT cans a 50-footer, and then Morikawa answers with that 25-footer. And it's just like you're expecting these crazy reactions, and really all you hear is just a let's go, and that's it. It's like you don't really get the full experience from it. And so it's just like it's kind of completely different, and I know for you guys it's probably really different in that – there's far less people. You don't have to do any crowd control, which is positive, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely.
No one ever follows the groups I'm in anyway, so it's less than too much.
You got to get in the tournament first, Spence, to be able to get
last. All you guys to follow.
Here we go. I had a question for you guys. Are caddies privy to the milkshakes there? And if so, what's your favorite kind?
I'm lactose, so I'm out on that.
Oh, okay.
No milkshakes last week, I don't think. I think they're busting them out this week. Maybe they Sunday yesterday, last week Sunday, but nothing last week as far as I
asked in the when we were doing scoring number nine halfway house or whatever,
I asked if he was making burgers and other food, but I asked about the, are you making milkshakes as well? He says, no, we were told to reserve that for next week.
Oh.
So I couldn't get a milkshake down there, and it was only the one time I asked, and obviously haven't been to the clubhouse to see, but never tried one, so I don't have a favorite flavor.
Wow. Okay.
I've tried a few in my day. The chocolate ones are pretty good. I know last week, though, they didn't have them, and the guys used different lockers than they do this week. So they were trying to keep things a little bit differently. I don't think Jack was here, and I'm sure he'll be here this week. So, But the milkshakes are good.
Does that mean they put us back down in the cart barn this week, or are we still in the clubhouse?
No, we're actually still up in the regular place.
Nice.
Yeah. Regular place, he says.
The COVID place, not the cart barn.
Yeah.
That's the good thing about COVID. For you guys that don't know, we get the hospitality for us is much better. Parking's better. So without having the clubhouse full of, guests and members and sponsors, there's a little more room for us.
Absolutely.
Good call, that room that we're in, that room that we're in at Muirfield Village has got to be like, how much it's like millions for corporate hospitality right there. Really? Like a regular.
Yeah.
Overlooking 18 Green, I mean, it's right there. I mean, no one's in your way, right up against the window. You can go on the balcony. I mean, it's
– yeah.
That's prime real estate on Sunday with fans.
Well, exactly, and that gets me to where I wanted to chime in earlier. Like, they're saying that JT's putt was 50 feet. I was watching from that room up there, and I mean, maybe it was just my angle because it was like the hole was over here, and I had to, like, tilt my head over here to see JT, but – man, that thing seemed like it was way more than 50 feet. I want to give him credit for like a 65 footer or something, but took forever for the ball to get to the hole as well. So.
Well, yeah, and I think it partially does the crowd kind of compacts that area, right? It just with no crowd there, just that's such an expansive green that it just makes it look so much bigger.
Right.
I know, Jules, you got some special memories from the 2013 President's Cup. Is it always nice to come back and as soon as you step on the ground, kind of relive that a little bit?
Yeah, that's pretty cool. And I ran into Keegan, who he made a huge putt against Graham and Jason Day. They're like, Graham chipped in on 18. They're all square. Graham chipped in, went nuts. Graham blacked out, almost took Jason Day's arm off, high-fiving him. And then Keegan buried an 8-footer to tie the match, and that, I mean, I'm sure he'll never forget that. He probably thinks about that putt a lot. But yeah, that was a pretty cool week. I mean, just probably the coolest moment of my career at that place, and just like hearing the Canadian national anthem at the opening ceremonies and stuff, and like Butchie, I'm sure is the same for you when you caddy for Weirzy. So it was pretty. Pretty neat.
You actually went to the opening ceremonies?
I went my first President's Cup. I went
Boy.
To and I brought a suit to go Butchie. Was that a football or what?
Yeah. Well, did you keep it on your trailer on your RV?
No, this was in Korea. But I took it by plane. But
well, Korea's different.
What did you guys, obviously now we're back kind of in the full swing of things. What did you guys do to stay busy during the downtime here?
Well,
Billy,
Kurt, you'll have a better answer because we have kids. So
I played a lot of Call of Duty with my kid. Got to be pretty decent. That was it. That and a lot of baseball out in the street. It never really slowed down here. Maybe a few weeks in Dallas where they weren't able to do anything, but kept busy doing a lot of practice, hitting, a lot of fielding. Butchie came up, did some work with us, and then a lot of Call of Duty.
Nice.
Was there like a adjustment period again? Like, because obviously there's not much of a break from season to season for these guys and you guys too. So with this time off, were you first round back? Were you kind of feeling it the next day, or were you guys just staying in shape?
Big time. Big time field.
Well, I think we got pretty lucky too. We probably had the two easiest golf courses to walk in Colonial and Hilton Head the first 2 weeks.
Yeah.
So it's not like we had one of the West Coast courses or Muirfield first. I mean, it was kind of nice to have Memorial or have Colonial and Hilton Head, which there's not a hill on the golf course.
Muirfield wasn't bad first week back, 100 degrees in those hills. It's the longest 10 miles.
Yeah.
118.
I agree.
Just walking back, that would have been a rough week.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was feeling it this morning, man. This Muirfield's, I mean, it's got to be like top five hardest walks on tour, isn't it?
I agree. I think it's one of the top two or three. What's harder?
Kapalua.
Kapalua. Yeah.
Pebble.
No.
You don't think Augusta? San Diego? Augusta's hard.
Yeah.
DC, about, old DC, Avenel, that's a hard walk.
Old Reno.
Reno. You're right. That one has that's
some. You want to go old? We could go Castle Pines.
Castle Pines.
You guys probably haven't even been there.
No.
I played golf there in college, Butchie.
I didn't. That was the worst.
And it was always delayed, so you never played 18. You either played 9 or 27.
Yeah, that was the worst.
I can imagine those 27 to Chile would be tough.
That's cool. One of the things we're kind of discussing, just getting the four of you guys together and you know, all the Canadian caddies on tour, do you find that, I mean, obviously there's a lot of you guys. Is there something about Canadians that fit well? Is it, you know, just our laid-back lifestyle? Or what do you think the reason is for so many Canadians on tour?
Jules, how about her?
I don't know. That's – maybe it's just the way the cookie crumbles. I don't know. I guess, you know, it's just like, how do you get out on tour? Like, I don't know. Just because I knew Graham DeLette a little bit and he took a chance on me. So I don't know if maybe it's just being friendly and networking a little bit maybe, or, you know, like Butchie, I don't know how you got on tour. Billy, I don't know how you got on tour, but, you know, Kurt, I know you're on the ladies tour first and then.
Yeah. But I started with David. So similar to you, I just knew David Hearn.
Right.
He invited me out to caddy, so that was it. And then once I got a taste of the tour life, I was like, I don't want to go back and work in Sudbury in the nickel mines. So I said, being a tour caddy is probably not a bad option.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's good. But just from an overall distance perspective on tour, we're seeing some of these guys, you know, Bryson kind of lately being a lot of the talk of the tour from a media perspective, bombing it out there. We see Morikawa this week, you know, a good iron player, maybe needs to get his putting a little bit more in line. He can win some tournaments, but what are your thoughts overall on this whole distance argument?
Well, let me back up a little bit. This kid's what, 22 years old. He's played about 25 tournaments and he's won twice. So I think his putter's probably okay.
Yeah. I was reading last night that some guy from No Laying Up was like, yeah, his putter's questionable and this and that. I mean, well, statistically, when you look at it, I mean, the guy's so busy hitting great shots. And while he's putting, he's admiring the amazing approach shot he just hit. So he's not really super focused, but he's also putting from a lot closer than everybody else. So,
yeah.
That's fair. Call me out on it.
He's got I am calling you out on it.
That was one of the worst comments I've heard in a while, but that's okay. As far as working for a long hitter, it's actually helpful because I like it because you're always hitting last and it gives you a little extra time. If you work for a short hitter, you're always having to bust your rear up there and get the number first. But it's nice to be able to go up there and watch a couple other guys hit and just take your time.
Yeah, sure. I worked about 12 events for Colt. It's just opposite there, Butchie. It's right. Just full send with Colt.
Yep. Especially if you get a fast guy, a short, fast guy. That's the worst.
That's right.
Because you're running off tees.
Colt ain't fast, though. That's good.
No, he can't. Yeah, it takes a while to get there.
One of the things that I guess from a player caddy relationship perspective that we're talking about, we saw yesterday JT had some struggles early on. You know, he went from a two-shot lead to a shot deficit within four holes. So as caddies, what do you do? Is it all pre-round preparation and just keeping your guy focused? What do you do typically to get your guy back on track if ever we find, you know, those types of swings happening within your round?
I don't know, so I need the answer from somebody. Somebody please help me.
Yeah, I'm not sure either. So, Spence, take over.
I don't know. I mean, you got to keep it all in perspective. I mean, if you hope you've got some sort of a game plan going in. You know, maybe have some decisions kind of made ahead of time in case you get into certain spots and certain ways to play certain holes. And hopefully, you know, if you get into a spot like that, you can take what you've determined beforehand, not let emotion take your, you know, not let emotion kind of control some of your decisions, and, you know, hopefully stick to the game plan and, you know, and fight through it. But I mean, there's a difference too. I mean, losing it, and I didn't really see any of it yesterday, but I saw Colin birdied two of his last three. So, I mean, you know, there's a losing it and then there's a getting beat part, you know, and getting beat. I mean, someone plays better than you. I mean, bogey in 16 isn't really, I mean, that's a pretty good hole. It's, you know, it'd be different if you bogeyed three in a row coming in and Morikawa backdoored, you know, a one shot lead or into a playoff. But, you know, you get birdied on two of your last three. I mean, it's not like you coughed it up as much as, you know, the guy caught you. But, you know, try to do your work beforehand and, you know, hopefully kind of battle through some tough stuff and, you know, trust what you're doing and hopefully you come out on top.
Yeah, I also think when it's JT or it's Tiger, well, Tiger's a little different, but when it's JT or some of these guys that are winning, you know, all the time, they know what they're doing. I mean, it's not like it's the first time the guy's played in the final group and, you know, you're trying to tell him to just relax and play his game. I mean, JT, those guys know what's going on and they know how to get things back on track.
Yeah.
That's fair. Is there, I guess on the opposite end of it, is there any time that you've seen an interaction between a caddy and a player where they've done the opposite and almost fired their guy up more and you're like, this guy's getting run maybe right after this tournament?
You don't have to name names.
It's a delicate balance though, because when your guy is bottom of the collar, you know, and he's not receptive, it doesn't matter what you say. You could be saying the exact right thing, but if your guy's hot under the collar, it's going to go in one ear and out the other, and probably not. And like you said, if he could snap back with something, and then now you guys are in a feud just because you were trying to kind of right the ship in a positive direction, whereas he was kind of just happy with it going the way it was, which was like you wouldn't speak up if you didn't feel like you needed to, you know. So you're not just not going birdie birdie and then you're hearing a pep talk on the third tee. It's like after a couple questionable shots or poor decisions or whatever, that's when you're going to step in. And I find that hopefully your guy's in the sound mind and in a peaceful state where he's going to accept what you say, digest it, and you know, move on as a, you know, in a direction that's going to help him. You know, that's the whole idea of why you speak up ever say anything, you know, in terms of motivation or guidance or direction or whatever you'd say. So
yeah, too much cheerleading can be bad sometimes. You got to let them blow off some steam, don't you? Because
yeah,
just like, all right, bud, let's go get this up and down, you know. Your guy just be like, well, no shit, you know.
Yeah.
Like, let's get this one back. No, you can't get it back, you already gave it away. You got to get something somewhere else. It's gone. Yeah. You can't get it back, right? You've already paid bogey. You can't go back and get it back. So
nope.
Find something down the road here to figure it out.
Yeah.
I worked for a guy that got a little hot and really hot, and he was tough to reason with. I didn't even bother after a certain point. I just was like, here, this is what you should do, and you know, anything else is stupid. And if you want to do it, you go ahead, but you're on your own. And
are you talking about the story, Billy, where you laid down the layup club and walked away there? That one, or which one?
No, that was a different time. No, this guy, it was last year. It was Friday. We hadn't hit a fairway. We were on 18, and we were on the number, and he's like, I can't hit driver in the fairway here. And I'm like, okay, well then hit. What can you hit in the first? It's a par five. Like, well, hit whatever. It doesn't matter. It's a three shot hole. You know, as soon as you don't hit driver off the tee, it's a three shot hole. Hit whatever. Okay, I think I can get 3-wood in the fairway. I'm like, all right, fine. Best 3-wood of the day, right down the middle. Well, now he wants to go for it. And I'm like, dude, we laid up off the tee. We can't go for it now. And he's like, okay, well, I want to lay it up way up there into the neck. And it's like a 20-yard wide layup. But if you hit 7-iron, the fairway's 50 yards wide, and then you can hit sandwich on the – I'm like, no, you can't. It's stupid. And he's like, no, we had a layup way down there. So we're hitting 3-iron. And I'm like, this is the dumbest thing I've ever – you laid up off the tee and now you want to go. So I was like, all right.
Who was this, Spence?
It was last year.
What year?
It was last year in Minnesota on 18.
I know. I'm trying to think, too. Like, what course, what play?
Okay, so it's Minnesota 18. Okay. You'll see it next week. It's on TV. You know, next week we play. It's 18. Okay. And he laid up off the tee because we were choking it away, trying to make a cut, and laid it up off the tee, and then wanted to go for it. And then tried to lay it up into the neck up by the green. I'm like, this is ridiculous. Anyways, it was a disaster. And he made birdie, but he should have made triple. And we made the cut, whatever. But, I mean, it was.
That sounds like something I would do, but I'm not.
It was the dumbest thing I've ever seen. I had to get all the shot link stuff to say, listen, dude, there's 156 guys playing. And so that's, whatever, 312 guys in 2 days. And not one guy has tried to lay it up thus far. Like, what do we do?
I think we might have to circle back to this layup club story.
Yeah, no, I haven't even heard that one.
The one with Bones. What better time
about? Yeah, it was on the Canadian tour with Bones. It was 18. Whatever. It was 250, and he was trying to win the tournament. He wanted to shoot. He shot 58, and you know,
he's like, Sarnia?
Yeah, where's he's play?
He's trying to go for it over the creek there.
Well, he thinks it's a 10-yard rock, a 10-foot creek. It's a pond that's 50 yards deep, like, you know, whatever. And he kept saying he was going to hit, and there's a lot of bounds left and long, and he's like, I'm just going to hit forward. And I was like, I gave him the 7, and I started to walk away. And I was like, just lay out. You're 13 under par, dude. You've hit every wedge in 5 feet. Why are we trying to knock it on the screen? Just hit another wedge from, I mean, whatever.
That's such a Steve Williams move. No, no, no. Here you go. Bye-bye.
I didn't know any better, man. It was 20 years ago, 25 years ago.
I mean, yeah.
And it's the Canadian tour. You're playing for like 80 grand. I mean, not 8 million.
80? Purse, right? 100 grand purse?
100. Yeah, no, that was a big one. That was like, that would have been 200 grand.
Right.
That's a great segue into kind of our next question for all four of you. Just the weirdest moment you guys have seen while you've been on a bag of someone, whether that's in the crowd, whether that's amongst the tour players, whether that's a practice round, just something that struck you guys as just odd out on the course.
Jules, you got anything for that?
I've had a player.
You got to have some weird ones, Kurt. Some of the guys you work for, you got to have some weird stuff.
I've had a player, and we won't go years or names or anything, but I've had a player dismantle one of his clubs. So this was after a golf shot didn't cover a hazard. They went up to look for it. I stayed back to kind of where the entry point was. He gets a ride back from the rules official. And this is in a foreign country. And so we're also going to be getting a ride back up to the fairway for just pace of play concerns, right? So I'm at the bag, and I've got a ball in my hand, and he grabs the ball, drops it on the ground and you know, on the line where we're going to do it. Goes for his wrench, takes the head off of his driver, lays it on the ground, takes his sand wedge out, and this club head goes into the lake about 60 yards away. And I was just like, so I handed him the 3-wood. That was the next shot, was a 3-wood. And then I just started walking up the fairway. Like, I just started walking up. The rules official waited for him to give him a ride back, but it was certainly the strangest thing, and I would like for anybody to come close to finding a stranger thing.
So he took his driver head off and then proceeded to hit it with his wedge into the woods or water or where?
To the lake that he didn't cover with his original tee ball.
Wow. That's good.
That's a good one, yeah.
Didn't count as a stroke, though, I guess, and it was, you know, I mean, it was the strangest noise, too. I don't know if you guys have ever heard it.
I can't say
a wedge hit a driver head. I can't say that either.
Driver head hit with the sandwich. So
start a fire.
I was about 30 yards away at the time when it happened because I could kind of see what was shaking down. It was like, oh my god.
So, what kind of driver head was it? Callaway?
Maybe.
Good cover.
Good meltdown, so good. Like, I remember.
Oh, I love it. I love watching other guys meltdown even more. It's better than your guys.
Yeah, it's the best. And you can see it coming from a mile away, too. All the talking under your breath and the muttering, and then all the shit that they're blaming it on. And it's like, really? Like, And then yeah. you can see it coming. And then one more bad shot, and it's like, it's off the rails.
Like, do you, like, Bill Spence, do you prefer, like, for a club throw, do you prefer the helicopter or the tomahawk?
I won't go pick it up so they can throw it however they want.
Yeah.
Helicopters are better. You got less chance of bending, especially if it's like a wedge or a club you need.
Yeah.
The tomahawk's dangerous.
Yeah, the tomahawk. I had a guy helicopter one into the woods at PPC one time, and we walked right past it. He's like, you're not going to go get that? I'm like, no, I didn't throw it. You want it, you go get it. You know, I'm not. But yeah, the tomahawk's dangerous. That's, you're down at the club. Those, they'll break. The whatever you call it, the full Matt Every throw, those are safe. They land pretty safe.
Yeah, those are good. I like those.
Sometimes you got to do it, you know? I mean, whatever.
Yeah, and he controls it pretty good too. I'm sure if he was on TrackMan and TrackMan said, all right, throw this 48 yards, I'm sure he's got it perfect now too.
Well, man, he's got a little practice at it too.
Yes.
It's not like the rest of them.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
Is he the most notorious club thrower on tour, would you say?
Well, he has the best form.
I would say so. He does have the best form. He gets the most distance, too.
Yeah, he's leading the strokes gained, I'd say, there. Strokes gained throwing.
By a mile.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I have a question. For the owner of the Spezza jersey. Are you closet Leafs fan for the playoffs, or?
No, I would rather the Leafs building blew up with all them inside than the Leafs winning the cup. So.
Oh, nice. Hey, nice jersey though, bud.
Yeah.
Is it signed?
Can you see, can you guys see everybody on here?
No, I can't. I'm on a phone. I think if I was on my iPad, you could, but.
Yeah, I guess
it's set up to go to whoever's speaking, I think, unless
I don't have that. I just have my logo back there. What's going on here? Hang on.
Yeah, we can faintly see your head.
You can? Hang on. I don't want to hit. There's an X in the corner, and I think if I hit it, it's going to cut me off.
But it's funny you mentioned the Scotiabank Center blowing up, because I think that Corral Center or Canadian Tire Center has been on fire for a lot of years there, hasn't it?
A few. Half a decade for sure.
Yeah.
Later times, I hope.
We were going to get into, at one point here, to discuss Jules being a Habs and a Chiefs fan. Brunel, the third member of our show here, isn't here. He's a Habs fan, and I'm a Chiefs fan, so it's not the worst thing combo in the world. So,
how are you a Chiefs fan?
How? Well, yeah. And
they won the Super Bowl. Like the last 2 years you've been a Chiefs fan?
Oh, here we go. It's coming already.
Kind of like
Spence. For that.
I almost.
Whenever they drafted Mahomes, what year was that?
A baby picture of Chiefs gear when I was a baby, just to confirm this for this particular part. And then obviously the Morikawa thing doesn't help in your book, so I'm fucked.
No, that Morikawa comment. Yeah, we can edit that one.
Yeah. No, I think I'll leave it in there for credibility purposes.
Yeah, okay. I mean, you had an opinion, Butchie just didn't like it. Hey, I think Butchie has a
little bit of... Well, you know, if he actually put, he might start winning. I mean, you know, he's got a chance, that kid, to win sometime in his career.
Yeah. Maybe just every tournament he's in. But
Think if he wasn't 200th in putting from 15 to 25 feet, he'd be incredible.
I know. Are his stats really that bad?
Yes.
Are they really? Yeah, I was reading this morning too. Guys were talking about his putting. Seems to me we play with him. He putts well.
Yeah,
he hits it so darn good.
The comment was more he's not great inside 5 feet. He's good from 5 to 15, and then 15 out, not great. So he's got to hit it
really?
To 8 feet like he's doing, just to give himself a chance percentage.
10 feet.
Right.
Whereas
the first I heard of it was the obviously the lip out at Charles Schwab. And then the lip in yesterday, right? On the 72nd hole or whatever. Was it 72nd hole? And and then I didn't even sniff to think. Like, he just – cool. Like, if statistics say he's 200, but like Butchie said, he's played 25 tournaments and won twice. And, I mean, his strokes gained, like, approach with a variety of irons, like, are – so when you take the top 10 guys – and you take their average for the strokes gained approach, he's at the average, or he's like way ahead of the average by like half of a stroke. So it's pretty wild. Yeah. But I was more spending time in the last year thinking of like, wow, this kid's an amazing iron player. Never even thought to think of looking at his stats of his putting or anything. But
well, one of the things that I found interesting, and I guess I'll ask you guys. So if your player had 200 putts inside 3 feet, how many would you expect him to make of 200? 195.
I like 199.
97. 98.
Yeah. So Morikawa was at 194, I think, inside 3 feet.
Okay.
So they're just saying like he's getting these lip outs, stuff like that. And then obviously if you have a great iron game as compared to the driver wedge game that a lot of guys are doing right now. So it was just kind of that. What's your guys' thoughts on it? Is really what I was going for. So last time we
94 had, to go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah. No, that's fine. 94.
No, I said. I mean, if he misses three more putts than the guy that's 197, that's okay. I mean, you know, you gotta pick and choose your battles. I mean, you know, depending on where you're playing too, right?
Yep.
You had a 3-footer downhiller at Augusta. It's a little different than a 3-foot putt at Colonial.
Yeah. Fair. So last roundtable we had, we talked a little bit about the caddy pranks, and we had D'Lo on the show, Damian Lopez, who got fell for the free raincoat. So we're wondering if you guys have had an opportunity to either prank someone else or get pranked, and what are some of the best that you've heard of on tour?
Dude, that the rain jacket is Scotty Neiser, 100%. He tried to get everybody with that.
Yeah, what was it? I don't even know that one.
Yeah, so it came up on the show that Jeff Willett Skillet was on, and he was talking about this this rain jacket thing, and then Dino was like, "Yeah, they got me on it," and so it was priceless that he was chirping the guys that get it, and then he got it. So I was curious, have you guys? Are there any kind of infamous ones out there? No names, of course. But
I got pranked. I fell for it. Me and Michael Grellers, like 6 or 7 years ago, that somebody told us that if you're in the top 10 in FedEx Cup standings, you would get a free courtesy car, or you would get a courtesy car. So me and Greller walk into the BMW tent in Boston, and they knew. They had already talked to transportation people, and they're like, "Oh yeah, sure, just give me your license." And then it was just like, "Joke's on you," you know. It was just like, "Oh,
well, that's good."
Yeah, so they got us good there.
I don't have any that stick out, or I don't really remember being pranked. Yeah, nothing for you.
Yeah, I don't either. I just know sometimes during rain delays, you had some, like Neiser used to be the best at it. He'd come in and say, "Okay, guys, you know, on the range.
On range 5 minutes."
Yeah, range is open, and everybody would rush up and grab their pips in the bag, and then he'd say, "Oh, just kidding."
You know, just to get a seat in the caddy room while it was raining.
Yeah.
All right. Well,
one other one we kind of talked about last time, and some of the guys kind of had some good stories, was have you guys ever had any interactions with fans, maybe negative, positive, or anything that you maybe had to tell them to pipe down or anything like that? The other guys had some pretty good stories on those, so just wanted to see if you guys fell in that group too.
I mean,
Spence, you're the one with the temper. I guarantee you've chirped at some fans.
Yeah, no, not really. I mean, one time, I think, years ago in Pennsylvania, I mean, in Pittsburgh, I can't remember the what was that resort?
Was it the 84 Lumber? I've never been, but
that's exactly what it was. It was in the middle of nowhere, and these idiots, but it was, you know, it's like 6 o'clock on a Saturday afternoon. They've been out there all day. And, you know, just chirping and yapping and yapping. And it's like, you know what, knock it off or you're out of here. Oh, you can't do anything. Oh, yeah. And then, you know, tell the score to call some, you know, whatever. But now it got pretty – that place got pretty – it kind of got a little – they used to – I can't remember the schools. Maybe West Virginia and Pitt or something. And they used to – this par 3 and, like, the one side was whatever the rivalry. It was West Virginia and somebody else, two schools, but they would put half the school on one side of the par three and half the school on the other par three. It was like 15 or 14. And then once you went through, they'd start to follow you. And that's, but no, they're pretty good. I mean, it's they're for the most part there. I mean, I haven't really had any problems in 20 years. Not that I can think of.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. I had one in Scottsdale, and it was the same thing, you know, 6 o'clock at night on a Friday or Saturday there, and just the booze, and guys like, hey, Dillette, F you. And I mean, the cop is just right there. He watched him just telegram to go F himself. And so a cop just went up to him, said, sir, you're out of here. Bye-bye. We didn't have to do anything. But
that's Phoenix too, right? I mean, that's one. If that was every week, there'd be a lot more stories. But if
right.
one Scottsdale a year, it's kind of like whatever.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, can you imagine if that was every week? I mean, it'd be like UFC.
Yeah. You got to get Kessler on the show, bud.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Better sure. Stories.
Yeah. Well, that's that was interesting for sure. Made some news. What's your guys' general thought on the Phoenix Open? Is that something that you enjoy, or is it just kind of just get it over with that week and move on to the next? Or
I don't know, Butchie, you like Phoenix Open, bud?
I love it. I think it's great. I think it's fun. It's different. I mean, like Billy says, I think it's good for a week, but I think it's great. You show up and there's places packed, and I think 16, 17, 18 are fun.
Yeah. It's cool for a week. It's a ton of fun 1 week. I mean, it really is.
I agree.
You don't play in front of that many people, even at a major. I mean,
Watching the people on 16. Guys used to throw stuff, and they're chanting and cheering. I think the chants are great, too, when the guys start, you know, especially you're playing with someone, they start roughing them up. I think it's awesome.
Yeah. I was going to say FU is probably the least offensive thing that's said on that whole.
Yeah.
Yeah. If that's the worst thing you get said to you, you're doing pretty good in Phoenix.
Yeah, true.
Do you find that more and more of the tournaments are trying to go that way, though? It just seems like more often, like Canadian Open with the rink, just a lot of these different tournaments almost have that hole where they're trying to turn it into not quite that party atmosphere, but more getting the fans interaction. Do you think that's a good thing for golf? Are you noticing it a little bit more often? What are your thoughts on just kind of that party atmosphere that seems to start, it looks like it's starting to come a little bit more intense with the grandstands and things like that?
I don't know when's it going to happen again, though. You know what I mean? We're not having fans arrested this year, but there's certainly some cool things. Like you said, that Canadian Open hole par three, that's cool that they have the ice rink looking, you know, with the boards and everything. I don't know. I just think like it's so benign out on the course right now. Like there's I would give anything to have like some people cheer for shots, and I think it's helpful for your player if he hits a 7-iron to 25 feet, you know, like, and people are clapping it. Probably feels okay as opposed to your ball's on the green 25 away and nobody says anything. You can sort of pretend that it's a bad shot if you wanted. I don't know.
I like it personally. I think it's good for the tournaments because I think, one, a lot of them have concerts now, and I think it gets a younger crowd out. Not only Phoenix, but I mean, you can see at the Honda. Honda's kind of turned 16 into that, and 17's busy. So I think it's great for golf because I think it gets more people out, whether it's a concert, whether it's partying, whether it's, you know, obviously most fans behave properly and they come out and they have a good time and it's the place to be. So I think it's great for the sport, and I think it's good for the tour too.
Yeah, the Canadian Open last year, there was a lot of short shorts, cowboy boots, and plaid shirts the Friday when Flora Georgia Line was playing that afternoon. Yep. So.
Yeah, it's. I wish the Honda wasn't the hardest hole in the golf course where all the people were hanging out, though. It'd be a little easier if it wasn't 200 yards over water and you don't know where the wind's going. I mean, like, pick another hole, but yeah. It's nice, though. Phoenix is easy. That's an easy hole, right? It's a 9-iron.
You can't put it on any hole at the Honda.
Well, that's true,
maybe
too.
Number one.
Yeah. Yeah.
First, yeah, first. Yeah, we've always kind of just sitting back and the difference between that audible kind of hum of crowds and hospitality as compared to just the yells in the middle of backswings and stuff like that. Do you find that that happens naturally? It's just a little bit different when you're around those holes where you're not expecting it out on different holes, just that random yell of a fan as compared to, you know, hospitalities where you get three drunk guys talking and one guy just bursts out laughing in the middle of backswing. Do you find that it's just mentally different for your player as they're getting up to those shots and those atmospheres?
I mean, probably you got to get, yeah, I mean, I don't know. I just think that those guys are so competitive that it's just, they just find a way to just, I mean, they're playing, the purse is still there, you know, and I think that at the end of the day, you know, guys are trying to provide for their families, whether they've made 50 million or, you know, 2 million. And I think guys just get, find a way to get pumped up. It's a little bit different, obviously, there's no doubt, but I don't know. I think that these guys are such good competitors that they just kind of find a way to get it done, you know.
I think fans, I mean, I'm not exactly sure with the question. I mean, I guess I do know the question. I'm sure if Jules and I are on the same page, but I think most fans are pretty good. I mean, Phoenix, it's so loud, it doesn't matter. Everyone's screaming on a couple holes. But other than that, you know, no one really screams in guys' backswings. You might get that once every 2, 3, 4 months. You hear it. You know, someone yells, and if you do, you back off. And like Jules says, the guys are good enough to regroup. But rarely do you see a guy swing and get screamed at and flub a shot. Because I think guys are – well, most people know if you're out there and there's only a few fans and you do it, you're probably going to get tossed.
Yeah.
So I can't tell you the last time it's happened.
Respectable. There's not – yeah. 99.9% of them are – I mean, they're there to watch golf, right? I mean, or you know, it's a social event. But,
right.
You know, I don't think they're there to, you know –
creators. Yeah, I think I was very potentially answering a different question there in my mind there.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, French is my first language, Butchie. You got to give me a
yeah. Know, okay.
Give me a mulligan, bud.
Yeah. Oh, you got it. We should have a little French along the top, and we'll have an interpreter for you.
Yeah, well, and that's the thing is our French guy on our show is not here tonight, so he could have helped you. He could have asked that question for you.
Yeah, I knew I was missing something. God.
Yeah.
what's the best story? I mean, some of you guys have been with your current players for a little bit here. What's the best story or most, I guess, if you got a, how you came to be on the bag you're currently on, just a story about your current players that you care to share? As far as kind of that best story of maybe it was the moment that you knew that this relationship was going to click, or just something that's, you know, comes to mind when you're talking about your player.
Well, I'll start with that one. First of all, you got to be a little careful about answering that because you never know in this business when you might get rinsed. So I don't think anyone wants to jinx themselves. I think for my guy, aside from golf, the 1 week in Phoenix when,
Amy.
The girl Amy with that had Down syndrome that came up and, you know, played the hole with us, and Gary ended up being good friends there. I know it's a well-known story, but I think that was a great story for the character of Gary and, you know, what that meant to him and the friendship he's had with her.
Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. That was a cool story for sure.
Yeah.
And she's just
Spence, you got to have one. You work for enough guys.
Who, me?
Yeah, I mean, you got to have a good story with one of your guys. With Bone.
I mean, about what, though? About working for him?
When did you know? I mean, you worked for him on the Canadian tour, so you must have known it was pretty good.
No, I mean, he, you know, as far as that stuff. No, he has a couple good friends in Illinois and Moline at the John Deere, and we used to do
I still go
he doesn't play really much anymore, but this guy's got a house for, it's kind of like what in Canada would be like Ronald McDonald House, I think, for kids, like kids with, you know, if they're from small towns and they got to go to the hospitals and get you know, treatment if they're not, if they're sick, not doing good, and they put the parents up at the house and all that. But this guy runs a charity in Illinois. And we supported it there. I mean, you still go to these events every year for Moline. And I mean, it showed kind of, you know, he took a lot of time out of his schedule to do it and hang out with these kids. And he'd get different kids to caddy for him each hole in Pro-Am. And you know, he'd do a putting contest at this place every year on the Wednesday night. And they raised a bunch of money. And I mean, it said a lot about, I mean, he took time out of his own schedule to kind of do stuff. So in that sense, yeah, I mean, deep down, I mean, you know, he's tough to work for and he's tight, but for that, he's got a good heart. I mean, everyone knows he's the cheapest guy on tour. So, I mean,
yeah,
that's no secret. So.
Now everyone knows.
Well, if they didn't know, now they know. Right?
So. Yeah, I think everyone knew before. It's okay.
It's all right. He threw me under the bus on the No Laying Up podcast with that layup in Sarnia. So this is payback.
Yeah. Kurt, you went down to the Corn Ferry to get your man, huh?
I did, yes. How sort of like with the, I know Butchie and Billy went like with the giving back to the community portion of it, but I mean, I guess the original question was like, how did you know or when did you know it was going to work or whatever? But, you know, so Cameron's coach is Sean Foley, and when he called me, he's like, hey, this kid's really good. Not sure when he's going to make the tour, like how, you know, mature he's going to be or whatever, but, you know, I think he's going to be a really good player one day. So if you're interested in kind of taking a step back and going to the, at the time, I guess it was the web.com or now it's the Corn Ferry, but, yeah, we started out with like 35th and then just, you know, then a 25th and then a 15th. So I was like, okay, well, this kid does get it a little bit. And then maybe like after four top tens, he won a tournament. So, but it was always like we played just a boatload of tournaments in a row. I think we played, you know, on that tour, you can go. I think we went with maybe 8 tournaments in 10 weeks or something. So there was a fair bit of golf going on there early. And then, yeah, a tournament. So we went to the tournament in Utah, where obviously he's the longest player, I guess, or hits the longest tee ball. And then we go to like about 4,500 feet elevation. So tack on with his flight. Tack on another, you know, you could call it 10%, but there were days where it was warm and we were probably nearing more like 12 or 15%. But anyway, he just hit a bunch of good shots and played nice under pressure when he needed it. And I was like, I guess Sean was right with this kid, you know, he's a good player. And obviously there's polishing that happens and stuff, but I kind of saw some really cool things in the first couple of months that I caddied for him. So I was kind of like, I'm pretty sure I'm going to hopefully caddy for this guy for a while. So, but I mean, in terms of neat stories, I mean, I don't know, like, I think his driving distance in Utah, keep in mind, like the place was baked out. It was in a drought for certain. And I think his driving distance day one, but now keep in mind without shot length, they do two measured holes and his driving distance is like 421. So, which was kind of strange, but I mean, one of them was a par five kind of where you hit up and around the corner and he took it off the cart path. I don't know how much bonus yardage you got there. And the other one was just straight downwind with kind of like a nice light brown hue to the fairway. So, yeah, that was kind of like the first time where I saw him like just absolutely shine. So,
yeah, kid doesn't need to tack on 25, 30 pounds to gain distance.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's right at the moment he's kind of experimenting with a driver because his driver, I think, is an inch shorter than normal or whatever normal is. I don't even know what normal is anymore, but he's had it cut down, like, you know, whatever they call it, tipped or whatever, and a little bit. And so he's experimented with a couple, but I just he really likes the driver he's been using for the last couple of years. So
nice.
I don't blame him. I think he gains a few strokes with that. So.
Nice. And Jules, are you going with a long story here? Or are you going? You going the GD route, Sasky boy?
Well, GD. I mean, I actually heard I was caddying for Chris Barilla at the time.
Oh,
and, legend. Caddying a couple, couple events for him, old Bobby Barilla. And then he was just on Webb. I was just caddying for him on Webb. And his Chris's old caddy, Derek Mason, D-Rock, he told me, he goes, Graham's looking for a caddy, man. You should just text him. So I reached out to Graham and got hired for a three-week deal. So it was pretty fortunate, obviously. And, I mean, I think that – I mean, all – if you get a job, you're very fortunate. You know what I mean? Like the timing of you, Kurt, with Sean, and, you know, I'm sure that's how it happened with you too, Butchie, just kind of in the right place, the right timing between guys and this and that. And so you got to get a little bit lucky like that. Just for sure. Being out on tour is hard too. I mean, you can't just roll out to the parking lot and just hop on someone's bag. So, yeah, GD is pretty cool. And Adam Long is just a timing thing too. I was kind of between guys, and his coach reached out to me. Nothing. I don't have any exotic stories there, boys.
That's all right. Last one before we go, though, we want to touch on Butchie's background here for those that aren't listening. He's got the Blue Jays background. Think we're going to get a ball this year? Is it going to happen?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
This whole professional sports thing is pretty crazy right now, you guys. It's nice to get some PGA Tour golf, but hopefully this run of the NHL playoffs that's coming up is going to be pretty legit. I mean, Harv doesn't get to partake with being a Senators fan, but if I said I was a Blues fan, how would that go over?
Oh, that's my favorite team. You can't be a Blues fan, too.
Oh, your favorite team? What is that, like, since 2018, 19? Or?
Yeah.
No, 19.
Boston before that, Tampa before that, Pittsburgh before that.
Yeah. I can't believe you guys.
No, I have two teams, Dallas and St. Louis, because my buddy's the GM of the Blues, so I'm a Blues fan.
I can't believe you guys are letting me go under the radar. I have, like, 11 NHL hats.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, no, you must be a Vegas fan now, aren't you? Because you're going to claim you live there, so.
I do. I do. Yeah. I am a fan of theirs, but I'm also still a Leafs fan.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Just like you, though, I celebrate the whole league, bro. You know what I mean?
I don't celebrate the whole league. I'm a Stars guy, and I like the Blues.
Right, but when you watch Sidney Crosby make a great play, you're like, man, that was awesome.
Oh, that's true.
Right, but that's what I'm saying. So I celebrate the whole league. Like, I'm not like a guy doesn't play for – like, there are hockey fans out there who, if somebody doesn't play for their team, they hate the guy or they
– Oh, yeah.
They can't stand him. Like, people – like, me being a Leafs fan, they're like, oh, well, Carey Price is one of my favorite goalies because for a while there, he was Canada's goalie, right, at the Olympics, World Championships and all that stuff, right? So – I didn't like Marchand very much either until he had that really kind of breakout. Was it? I can't remember if it was the Olympics, World Hockey Championships, or whatever it was. But
once every 4 years, perfect.
So once he puts the Bruins jersey on, I'm like, good night. No,
well, I was gonna say, just waiting to speak because Marchand is a guy that you absolutely despise if you're a Habs fan.
Yeah.
2 weeks out of every 4 years when he plays with Crosby and Bergeron, I'll respect him. The other, you know, 3 years and 50 weeks, he can kiss my ass.
Yeah,
that's a good way to look.
Jules, you're hoping for a first round exit so you get Lafreniere, aren't you?
Man. Carey might get hot, boys.
That's true.
Hey, the last thing Pittsburgh needs is a first round pick, bud. So
I know
we'll go down in five against Columbus, and they will have Lafreniere when the season starts in December.
Yeah. Can you hear it? Tavares to Matthews to Lafreniere. Shoot these cars.
That's okay. You can sign him, and you'll have 80% of the cap and four guys. Everyone else will make $800,000.
Still no defense. As I expected, hearing Leafs fan talk about their team playing in the summer is just as unbearable as I thought it would be.
Mm-hmm. This is the longest the Leafs have ever played. First time they haven't played.
They don't play summer hockey.
No.
I was hoping you guys would have some of Alfredson's hair in like a little lockbox or something that you guys have on your desk.
That's in my safety deposit box. That thing's gonna be
Yeah. Okay. At that bank at the Bank of Nova Scotia or which one?
Oh, RBC, but that's neither here nor there. But as soon as he gets in the Hall of Fame, it's gonna skyrocket. Just don't know if that'll ever happen.
That's the stretch.
Love it, bro. Love it.
Speaking of hockey, didn't camps open today?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. The same thing will happen with the hockey and the baseball as what happened with golf. And it's not until there's a bunch of tests and then everyone realizes it's like legit and they won't be able to play if they don't buy in. And then they'll like what happened with the tour in Hilton Head. No one did shit in Colonial. No one did shit in Hartford. All of a sudden, a bunch of guys tested positive and everyone realized, okay, we better buy in or we're not playing. And I think the same thing will happen with these guys too. Yeah. So once they buy in and they realize that they're going into the hotel for 3 months, if they make it to the finals, then they'll be fine. Well, that'll be
it. Who's going tough in for 3 months, Spence?
It's going to be tough on those Leafs, you know. With
won't be hard for the Leafs in 6 days.
Quick week.
They won't even need to unpack.
Oh.
Yeah, they only brought one change of clothes.
All right. Lafreniere will look good in blue and white.
Be an easy charter. Just keep the plane there. You won't have to send it anywhere.
Yeah, you talked about buy-in though. Is it a pain in the ass with all the testing that you guys have to go through right now, or is it just kind of now it's just part of the process?
Well, that guy got I think he got my brain yesterday when I went. Ooh, I think they're going deeper now, aren't they?
I mean, I don't know. I closed my eyes and.
I heard there was a guy who really was digging her out yesterday. There, I got lucky. I didn't have that guy. So
it's a small price to pay for $8.5 million every week.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. It's everybody has their eye water or they say the guy touched their brain with a Q-tip or whatever it was. But yeah, I mean, it's Jules got over it. He went back to his car and put on Yacht Rock radio there and he was all set. Cruising over to the course.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, I know you boys got a big week ahead, so we'll let you go. We appreciate you guys joining us for the roundtable here, and all the best this season. We look forward to watching you guys and your players compete week in, week out.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having us.
Yeah. Thanks, guys.
No problem. Thanks.
Go Leafs.
Cheers, boys.
All right. Thanks to the four boys for joining us. As you could tell, everything I said prior to the interview came true in the interview. And now I think I'm officially cooled down. But, yeah, some good stuff in there. Some good stories.
Yeah.
The club throw parts were good. Aired some dirty laundry for a little bit there. Jules got caught with the prank. So, yeah, some good stuff.
Oh, yeah. Which prank did they get him with?
The free car.
Oh, yeah.
That's a good one.
That was a good one.
Yeah.
My favorite part of the interview was when he called you out for saying that was a stupid comment. So that's just my
I mean, it's a dumb comment. Good. Like, it's a dumb comment when you think of saying that a guy who's won 2 tournaments and 25 starts could win more tournaments if he was a better putter. Like, when you say it out loud like that,
yep.
But at the time, it seemed like the right thing to ask.
Yep. Fair enough. Sure.
All right, let's get into picks. Wrap this thing up.
Recap. Right.
Pick recap. Matty B greased another one here.
Woo.
Classic.
I was running away with this thing, and then all of a sudden, John Rahm was in the final group and
on Sunday,
and he's the last guy on the course. And though a playoff happened,
he did finish when he
finished after the playoff.
Yeah, absolutely. He was waiting on the 18th tee for them to finish the second playoff hole. But
I think he actually finished when they were on 17.
Yeah, yeah.
On 9.
Yeah, he played the back first. Yeah, but. Yeah, he really screwed me there. But anyways, Matty B had JT second, Rahm 27th, who jumped up from like 48th or 56th when he started the day. Connors 39th for 23 average. I finished second, had Cantlay 7th, Norlander 31st, and Kuchar 39th for 26 average.
Tight.
That's tight, yeah.
My guys suck on Sunday. Every time I make picks, they're always like the worst two guys or three guys every Sunday. Anyways.
Do we just want to pump the brakes for a second and point out when Bronaugh said that JT was a bad pick last week?
We should have had the auto.
I know.
No, I didn't say he was a bad pick.
said he wasn't a safe pick.
I said, I'm going with the safe pick here.
He missed
JT.
The cut at the Memorial last year. That's why I said it.
Yeah. And had missed the cut 3 of 5 times at Muirfield Village.
Yeah.
Some would say I knew what I was doing.
Hey, broken clocks right twice a day.
I haven't heard that one in a while.
No. Thanks, usually just default to blind squirrel finds a nut.
Yeah. Okay, get to Leishman fucking me over.
And Bronel. Day 7th, Xander 14th, and Mark Leishman missed the cut for a 68.
Two top 15s.
And a still 30 one, yeah. average.
Oh, yeah, I would have.
Debatable.
What do you
just
mean?
Just pick any guy that finishes in the top 50 and I win.
No. Mm-hmm. I had a 23 average.
Yeah.
So two top 15s, you need another top 30.
Top 30 then.
There you go. Now the math
another
is
top
working. 10
and you would have won this one.
But yeah. Leishman's dead to me also. But
and then right in there. The doctor had a tough week.
Dr. Randy, 3 miscuts.
When are we stopping with this? Because this is getting embarrassing for him.
What are the total season?
He's 2 points out of third place.
Yeah, I was going to say his season standings.
Anyways, he
had bad.
Koepka miscut, Stewart miscut, and Jim Herman miscut for a 68 average.
Tough week.
The season standings too, right? are, yeah. And Matty B's 13, Bronel 9, Harv 5, Randy 4. So ooh. Randy's 1 week away from.
Because Chase Koepka was dead last this week.
Yeah. Yep. Well, he had Brooks Koepka.
Yeah, he had Brooks, yeah.
I just made sure to point that
out. Okay, picks. Back to the same course.
Yeah.
Back at her.
This tournament rules.
Yeah.
And
this
the field is absolutely loaded.
Absolutely slammed.
This is essentially a major.
It is a major.
Like, should we make it worth more points?
No, but I was going to say we should almost be picking 4 guys with how loaded it is.
Oh, sure.
But we're not going to.
No, we're not.
We should.
I'll go first.
We're going to talk about Cat being back or...
Who?
Oh, right.
Tiger
that
Woods?
Cat.
Oh, right. The people the that cat. Call him the big cat. I'm not a big cat guy.
No.
His name's Tiger Woods.
Yeah. Eldrick.
Yeah. I just don't like the big cat thing.
Bryson's 10-1 this week. With this field, he's 10-1.
Yeah.
And okay. that might be good value.
I was going to say I would have him like 7-1.
Yeah. And
that's ridiculous.
So are you guys... I mean, obviously, I'm taking them first.
Canadians: Connors, Hadwin, Hughes, Taylor. That's it.
Top 4 in the world. Top 4 in
the top 100.
Yeah.
4 in the top
still
100.
Rattled.
There, got it.
He'll
still
get
rattled.
He'll get there.
Got it.
Okay, you're taking Bryson.
Wow, that's
ballsy. I know. Yeah.
Safe pick. I'm taking Rory.
Oh man, that's tough, you guys.
Yeah, I know. You going to take him?
It's sick how one of you guys are going to get JT too, probably.
Yeah, me. Right now.
Probably.
No, take him. I'm how are you him. Leaving him out?
Because I'm not taking him.
Yes.
I'm taking my guy again. He's gonna win this week.
Patrick
Xander
Kentley?
Schauffele is going to win this week.
Oh, no.
When is... One, when did he become your guy?
I picked him last week.
And he got 14.
He became my guy.
He's my guy now. He's my guy.
No.
So your stable is now Rahm and Xander. That's what you're saying?
No, not Rahm. He's dead to me. So is Leishman.
I don't know where this guy is.
Xander and Nah are your...
No, Nah. No.
Okay.
But I'm thinking Morikawa and JT might be a little tired. You know, they played those extra 2 holes.
I love the fact... A nice one.
You're going to take Morikawa?
You're just letting him have...
JT.
Bryson and JT?
Yes.
Let him have Morikawa if he wants him. He beat JT. Take him.
You want to know the best part about this? Is that he picked Xander, who he could easily get with his second.
Could have, easily. Yep.
Yeah. I'm taking JT.
Could have gone with his third.
Yeah, Bryson and JT. Although, JT did miss the cut at the Memorial last year.
That's a good point. Smart.
I'm telling you.
Smart.
Just peaked too early. He peaked last week. He's going to be like...
Just a huge letdown is what you're saying.
T37
this
week.
He was just barely holding on last
week. Yeah, just barely got into that playoff.
To a second place finish.
Or did we...
You guys want to bet on JT's finish this week? Because I'm thinking... What's the over under? I'll give you guys 15th.
Perfect.
15th.
Under.
What's the bet? $20?
Yeah. 6-pack of beer. Loser has to drink all 6 while taping next week's podcast.
Okay.
That's a good bet.
Sounds good.
Okay.
15th, I get So you got to get top 14 in ties.
Nope. 15 and a half.
15 in ties then.
Yeah. T15.
That's gross. Why did I say that?
You gave him
I just want to drink. At least fight for that part of it.
The art of negotiation.
I want to drink six.
Bend him over.
No, I want to drink six beers now.
Art of the deal.
Guy was just looking for a reason to get half.
Time out. We threw out the whole power rankings thing, right? Like, because I don't look at those. So how do I know if a guy's in there or not?
I'll tell you.
Okay. Thank you.
Anyways, Harv, second pick.
Patrick Cantlay.
Fuck. I knew I should have taken him first.
Yeah, you should.
Well, you're an idiot, so now you're taking Morikawa.
Take Rom. Take DJ.
Take literally anyone but Xander.
Why?
I don't know.
Because take Hovland. Does he suck?
No. Okay, go.
I am taking Hovland.
Nice, Hovland.
Morikawa, not picked.
Can't be picked now.
Is Daniel Berger in the power rankings?
No, but he's top 15 in the world. Ugh. I double checked that because he's on my list.
Yeah.
He's like 39th.
Okay.
Don't do it.
Hovland might be tired.
I'm going to take Doc Redman.
Oh, okay.
What?
I think.
Okay.
Well, like got to go outside top 50.
Yeah, I'm going to take Ian Poulter.
Just outside.
Yeah, 51st.
Yeah.
Finished 11th or 7th this week.
Yeah. So I'm down to Jason Day or Niemann. Day was 7th last week.
Yeah.
Oh, Jason Day's outside top 50, eh?
Yeah.
Oh, I would have taken him.
But I'm thinking going to take Niemann.
Nice. Good for you.
Okay, we want to get to the
Randy Man.
Guy looking to really bounce back this week?
I guess so.
Randy Man.
So?
The good news is the stack field, so his algorithm should pull out a few good picks.
You'd think.
You would think.
Let's go.
So, like always, plugged in the...
Plug the numbers in the algorithm. Here's what it spit out.
Texted me this earlier today, but it's 55th, 70th, and 9. So 55th, back on the horse, Brooks Koepka.
Wow. Back to back.
Back to back weeks. 70th, Graham McDowell.
Not the worst.
9, Paul Casey.
Oh, that's a good pick.
Whoa. Randy Man.
But then if anyone of those guys get COVID or drop out... He has 56.
You have to add that now.
Jason Kokrak. It's Jason, right?
Yeah.
Don't ask me what I thought it was. Or 68th, Hideki Matsuyama.
Whoa, Randy Man. 5 good ones.
Back in the game.
But that just goes to show how strong the field is when the old random numbers that he uses.
Random?
Yes. Randy's playing so bad right now with picks. I'm starting to think his algorithm is completely random.
Yeah, I'm starting to think so.
Some might say.
Almost like a list randomizer.
I want to change my Hovland pick.
Nope.
Too late, bud.
Better hope he gets COVID because he ain't changing it.
I want to take Reed.
Oh, you just wanted it on audio.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When Reed wins.
Do you want to take 6-7 more guys to make sure they're on audio too?
Nope. Yeah, you might as well. We'll at least wait till Friday and we could dub it in.
Oh, man. I can't wait for that JT, like T17.
I hate that Bill Barker.
Yes. That's it.
All right. Well, that wraps it up for this episode. A little longer than most, but a lot of
better
good
than most
there.
Too. Some would say
better than most.
Exactly.
But until next week, episode 123. It's time for us to hit the clubhouse.